This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God Has a Plan for You.
By way of introduction to this morning's sermon, I want to share a note that I got from a parent a couple of weeks back. What are some of the things that the youth are interested in? And here's what it said. One of the questions on the heart of youth is, what should I do as a career? What are my talents? How would I know? Can I dream about the future? And that prompted me to want to go back to a sermon I did here about 3 years ago and wanted to rework it and reissue it to you as from the Lord. How can you know God's plan for your life? But God has a plan for your life. You say, but Pastor, you don't know. I mean, I'm way past that now. I'm old, I'm useless, I'm too young, I'm useless, or whatever in between. I tell you this morning, God has a plan for you. And let me share a story with you and begin here. On autumn nights, as we sleep peacefully in our beds, millions of songbirds are quietly traveling under cover of darkness, heading south for warmer climates. Take Baltimore Orioles, for example. Every fall, they pack their bags, close up their homes, leaving the key under the mat, and like senior citizens, head south. It's the weather patterns that tell the birds that it's time to move. As cold fronts move across eastern North America, wrote one expert, they're sending waves of orioles along with warblers and other songbirds on their way to wintering grounds in Mexico and Latin America. As cold fronts pass, clear skies and north winds usually follow. These conditions are ideal for migration, allowing the birds to travel with no risk of storms, the wind at their backs, and a clearer view of the stars to help them find their way. They fly over thousands of houses and highways, shopping centers and parking lots, passing state after state. If a particular oriole opts for a direct flight home, it will fly over the Gulf of Mexico in a single night, crossing 600 miles of open water. The entire trip from Baltimore, for example, to Mexico, Panama, or Costa Rica takes about 2 weeks. But the oriole knows exactly where it's going. God planted it within its little brain, that perfect guidance system that tells it exactly where to go and when and how. The same God that plotted a course for migrating birds has charted a course for your life. God has a plan for your life. We often confuse God's will and God's plan, believing that they are one and the same. But God's will and God's plan differ. God's will for us, what he desires for all humanity, is found in the Bible. And it's general in nature. God's plan for your life is specific to you, and it's revealed over time by the Holy Spirit and after much prayer. You'd like to know what God's plan for you is, and God wants to share it with you. God's plan for you will never run contrary to his will or violate his word. Paul writes, there are six things that are God's will for you and for me, and they're found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Read along with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's what God desires from you that his will is. What does God want for you and for me? Well, the Bible says he wants all to be saved. But look what else Paul writes. He presents that as believers, first we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we put ourselves completely, willingly in Jesus' hands. We don't have to struggle. We have to give up. You know, when people raise their hands in church, you know what the raising of the hands is symbolic of? It's the universal sign of submission. I surrender. It's hard for people to raise their hands in church. It's hard for some people to even look up on that and say, well, what's wrong with these people? I mean, what's happening over there? But if you realize it, what you're really saying is, Lord, I give myself to you. I submit myself to you. I want your will. I give up. I've tried working out my salvation by putting my efforts into it alone, but I know you'll help me. And so I submit to your help. I submit to your plan. Secondly, he wants us to keep our body holy, clean living. You see everything that's diametrically different in our culture today. Clean living makes you not cool. It's not cool to be a Christian today. So the idea of clean living and trying to keep your body holy and pure, the idea of sex outside of inside of marriage alone is becoming very unpopular. But God would have us to be holy, to live our lives in such a way that our testimony will be bright. Third, that we make ourselves acceptable to God by how we live. Our light needs to shine. We're supposed to be salt and light to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father which is in heaven. They see the good things and they don't pat you on the back for it, but they say, that's what a Christian's supposed to be. Fourth, we render reasonable service. We render reasonable service to God, to his church. For so many people going into church this morning around the country, church really means filling a particular pew, sitting in a particular seat week after week. And when you've punched your time card in and when you've punched your time card out, you've done it. Well, that's not what it is. This is a participated activity. We're supposed to be involved in the work of the church. We're supposed to bring our talents and our gifts into the church. We're supposed to be used of God for the furtherance of his kingdom. That we must render that kind of service to the Lord. Fifth, that we don't conform to the world and the world's set of values. And yet there is so much pressure on our young people today to conform to the way the world sees everything. To think the way the world thinks, to have the same values the world has, to look at everything from their prism. But Jesus said, avoid that. Go away from that. It's not my will that you conform to the world. Instead, he says, number six, that we be transformed from the world and we go to biblical values and have a biblical worldview. For me to live as Christ. It's got nothing to do with political party. It's got nothing to do with science. It's got nothing to do with any of the other things that are touted. Nothing to do with education. It's a heart commitment to Jesus Christ and seeing life through the prism of this book. The general nature of God's will applies to all believers everywhere. And it's up to the individual to conform to his will. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said to his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Should we say any less? We want God's will for our life. Now, God's plan is a little bit different, and it is specific to you. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Every step you take, every breath you take has been ordered by God. God knows what's best for you and what's best for me. God's prepared you for something. Are you listening? God's prepared you for something. Proverbs 15, the last half of the 19th verse says, the way of the righteous is made plain. If God's plan has been made plain to those who seek it, why does it seem to elude us? The question that was asked, how could I know? This morning, we'll explore some of the clues that the Holy Spirit uses to reveal God's plan and purpose for our lives. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The only question that should come out of that for you is, do I love him? Do you love him? Because if you do, he's got something planned for you that goes beyond your wildest imaginings. It may be something that you never imagined God would want you to do. It may be attitudes you never thought you were capable of. It may be heart's desire that you never thought you could feel. God's plan for you, should you choose to follow it, is perfect for you. You're qualified for whatever it is that God has called you for. The Lord will shape events, circumstances, experience, and relationships in such a way so as to prepare you for the things he has planned for you. God made the fish to swim in the water. And guess what? The fish is perfectly suited to his environment. It's perfect for him. His gills, his fins, everything works in such a way that he will not only be in that environment, but he will prosper in that environment. And while he's there, he will satisfy God's purpose for the fish. And you're more than a fish. Jesus said, you're more than the birds. I take care of them. I'm going to take care of you. And I've got a plan for them, and I've got a plan for you. I want to share 6 clues God uses to reveal and or confirm his plan for you, and the notes are there in your bulletin. Clue number 1, God's plan will plant to you where he wants you to be. He's going to plant you where he wants you to be, whatever that is. Now look, Psalm 1, verses 3 and 4, and he, that's you, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now I can look back, and I can see Gene and I and our little family moving down the road here in this little blue house over 30 years ago, never even knowing this church was here. It took us a couple of weeks to drive down the road and see this church and find out it was a Church of the Brethren. You ready for the real coincidence? We attended the only Church of the Brethren in Brooklyn, New York. This is the only Church of the Brethren in New Jersey. How did he do that? Well, you know why he did that. We didn't at the time. No accidents, no coincidences. Strictly God incidences, as I like to say. God has planted you here too. We're all in this together. We're all here at Amwell together. You're not here by accident. You're here because God purposed it. God suited you for this place like he suited the fish for the water. Whatever it is that God wants you to do within the context of the church, you're here to do. We're all here together. His plan for you is not a secret plan. He's not keeping it under wraps in some heavenly vault. He's leading you, guiding you, and prodding you along the way to do what's God's best. And that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. To give you those products, to give you that sense that you ought to be going in a different direction. And the Holy Spirit is not a bully. He's not going to force God's plan on you. God's plan is going to be something that you're going to see. It's going to be revealed. And then the question is, will you walk in his way? So here's a question for you to consider. Have you ever wondered why you think the way you think or feel the way you feel about things? Have you ever wondered about that? Why am I thinking this way? Why? Where did my likes and my dislikes come from? How did it happen that you found you had an interest and a passion in something? Why do some things anger and upset you and other things hurt you and bring you to tears? Why that? You say, well, it's my environment. It's in my DNA. Well, my question is, who configured your DNA? Who configured your emotions? Who programmed you? Maybe those deep feelings and those patterns are the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they comprise some of the clues he uses to reveal God's plan for you. Now, what do I mean? And let me get specific. Not generalities, not stuff that you can put on the back of a bumper, but let's get some real stuff going here. Clue number 2, what you love, what you have a passion for, may be what you must do. That passion you have for something may be something God has planted in you, and this is something you've got to do. What took Jesus from the throne of heaven to the cross of Calvary? The Bible says it was his love. It was his destiny to suffer a cruel death on Calvary, but it was his love for us that were the stepping stones that led the Lord to that end. What do you love? What's your passion? Music? Art, writing, acting, cooking, animals, children, the elderly, nature, working in the garden, driving a truck, selling, organization, teaching. Do you know how many orphanages have been started in the name of Jesus Christ by Christians who just couldn't explain why they had this passion and compassion for abandoned children? But it drove them to do something. And that something was to start an institution, a home for abandoned children. What you love may point you to what God has planned for your life. And if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's a wonderful reward. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life because you'll get up every morning so happy that you're doing it. I take that back. It's been the minority of times in my life when I've ever not been happy with what I was doing. And I've never been as happy doing what I'm doing now. This is my call. Clue number three, what makes you angry or upsets you may be what God has called you to correct. Jesus was angry. Jesus was upset with the injustice of his time. So every chance he got, he embraced and stood up for the poor, the outcast, and the underdog. He took that pejorative, that negative understanding of what a Samaritan was. Samaritans were dogs. If people saw a Samaritan coming down the road, they'd want to get on the other side of the street because they were better than the Samaritans. The Samaritans were mixed breeds, crossbloods, Jew, Gentile. The true religious Jewish person wanted nothing to do with them. Samaritan was a bad word. It took Jesus to take the name Samaritan and turn it into a good name, a positive name. Every time you hear about a Samaritan hospital, Samaritan's purse, it means something good and helpful and positive. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus was upset with hypocrisy. So he called out the greed and the power plays of religious leaders of his day. So what upsets or angers you? The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. How could that be? Be angry, but sin not. What angers you, now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Well, you can get very angry and very vindictive. You remember President Kennedy? I don't get mad, I get even. And that could be how you walk away from anger. Or maybe it's be angry and do something positive to correct an angering situation. God may be directing you to turn your righteous indignation into something positive and something good to correct what's wrong and make it right. Perfect example is found in your hymn book, Amazing Grace, by John Newton, who was a slave trader. He ran a slave ship until he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when he came to know Christ, he came to abhor, hate slavery. He went on to become one of the biggest factors in changing the rules of slavery in England and in America. You see, what angered him turned him into something positive. He became an abolitionist, fighting against the things that he knew were wrong because God showed him. Clue number four, what hurts you may cause you to help heal others. What hurts you may cause you to help heal in others. What do I mean? It hurt Jesus to see how brokenhearted Lazarus' family was at his death. And you remember the shortest verse in the Bible? What was it? Jesus wept. It's okay, man, we can cry. But you know, weeping is different than crying. Weeping comes from the bowels. It comes from the inside, and it's just like everything is flowing out of you. That's how much compassion Jesus had. Then he did something about it. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, none of us is going to be able to go that far, but to do something. What hurts you? How about unsaved loved ones? Does that hurt you? How about the homeless? Does that hurt you? How about the hungry? How about the sick? How about the abused? How about people who are lonely? These feelings may be the clues that lead you into a ministry or a career in medicine or volunteering in a hospital, working with the mentally ill or the handicapped or at a food bank. It may cause you to put more in the offering plate specifically for helping ministries. You just have this desire to want to help, and when you hear that somebody, their home just burned down. And in your heart of hearts, you feel like you've got to reach out to them both emotionally and financially. And then you give from a heart that's overflowing because you want to see others hurt be taken away. Clue number five, God will give you a vision of your future. Do you have a dream? Well, you say, I'm too old for dreams and visions of the future. Well, so did Colonel Saunders as he sat on his porch in his rocking chair collecting his first Social Security check and said, that's it. What am I going to do? I'm old. I'm on Social Security. I'm sure he was much, much older than me. And he didn't know what he was going to, well, maybe not much. And he didn't know what he was going to do. And all of a sudden he got the idea to bring chicken to the world. It made the chickens' lives miserable. But you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken became a great success. God was able to turn a dream into something. I didn't become a pastor until September of 2000. You're never too young. I was 15 years old when I went into the waters of baptism back at the Calvary Church of the Brethren in Brooklyn, New York, and I said, this is my first step into the ministry. Well, it was a pretty long step because it took 55 years for me to get to the place where I was actually standing before you today. Clue number 6, God will gift you so you can live out his plan for you. God will gift you so he can live out his plan for you. Did anybody ever tell you that you are gifted in something? Did anybody ever in this congregation ever come up to you and say, you know, you have a gift for something? And they tell you what it is. That's one of the ways God sometimes reveals your giftedness. When somebody tells you that, listen. When somebody tells you, you know, people used to say to me, when it was back in Brooklyn, they said to me, you know, you ought to be a pastor. You ought to go into the ministry. I went into business. It was the best seminary anybody could have gotten. And that's why I'm specifically here, because this is a business community, and I have an opportunity to interact with people in business and in professions. Many times the Lord will use others, especially in the church, to point out your special spiritual gift. God will not call you to something without equipping you to satisfy that call. Whomever God commissions, he will also empower. When God calls you to do something, he will give you whatever it is that you need to be able to do that thing. Those special abilities are referred to in the scripture as spiritual gifts. How many ever heard that phrase, spiritual gifts? I hope so. You can find at least 24 listed in the Bible, and they're found in, I put that down for you, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and I just want to share a dozen with you this morning. The gift of wisdom. That's the gift to apply biblical principles to your life. How do we take this book? How does this book come to us and the truths turn into life? Things that we will follow. The Holy Spirit will bring us the gift of wisdom to understand the Bible and then apply it. Most importantly, it can't be just up here. It's got to be in here and in your feet. And then the gift of knowledge to unearth the truths of God's word. And then a gift of faith. That's a deeper, unwavering belief in God and his word that would make putting your life on the line a reasonable service. Have you ever thought about the possible challenge that you might have here in this country one day, that to be a Christian you will be persecuted in the way they're persecuted over in the Middle East? Could you do it? Well, that's the kind of faith that God will gift you with, to be able to stand up to anything. And to be able to stand up today in this environment, in this soft form of oppression. We're living through a soft form of persecution, where to be a Christian is not cool if you're a teenager. To stand up for your faith, you get ridiculed. To stand up for your faith, people say names about you. They talk about you on their Facebook. Who knows what they say? But you'll have the strength to stand up against that with the gift of faith. And then the gift of healing. Not that you become a healer, but that you tap into God's power to heal. And we've seen that in this church. To be able to pray for healing and see people get healed. Miracles. Miracles. A gift of helps. That's the gift to be there for those in need, to support them, to empathize with them, to understand what they're going through, and to be cheerleaders for them. The gift of governments. It's not politics. It's the gift to pilot the church through challenging and dangerous times. It's so important that as shepherds of this congregation, that we keep the wolves and the lions away from the door. It's so important that we speak to issues that come into our church and not afraid, but lovingly and boldly deal with them, so that the work of this church since 1733 will go on until the Lord returns. And then the gift of pastor teacher, and that's the gift to spiritually nurture other people, to proclaim clearly and simply the truth of Scripture and protect those in your care from spiritual danger. The truth. Evangelist, that's the gift that specializes in preaching the saving gospel. When people come forward, who's the one we think about when they say evangelism? We think of Billy Graham. Ministry, That word diakonos, the gift of service, friendship, and aid, this is where the word deacon comes from. And then the gift of exhortation, the ability to comfort, the ability to console, the ability to encourage. You know, many times I get into situations as your pastor that just seem like nothing I'm ever going to say is going to help. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and he allows me to say something to a person that just, it works for them. It's not anything about me. It's just submitting to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit. Many people say that when a funeral is conducted by your pastor, it touches people's heart. I just get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do the work. It's that gift to encourage, giving, to share in such a way that it has no limits on its generosity. And there are people in this congregation who are tithers and more than tithers. People who can give and give and give and never feel they can outgive the Lord. You can never outgive the Lord. Exhortation, oh, we did exhortation. And then finally, mercy. And this is kindness in the face of ingratitude, motivated by love and not return on investment. Mercy. Bless you. Listen, if you hang around people very long, they are going to hurt you. Somebody is going to say something to you that hurts. But you must also realize that you're going to say something that hurts somebody. This is who we are. This is where we are in our faultness, in our flesh, in our weakness. We are going to hurt. And it's only recognizing the mercy and the grace that God has given us that we can extend to others and be forgiving. So these are just a dozen of the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Go back and check the other dozen in the references I gave you. When you follow God's plan for your life and you allow Him to use the gifts that He has given you, I can say here's the bottom line. And the bottom line is that you can touch the lives of people. And ministry and our faith is all about people and reaching them for the cause of Christ and then lifting them up. God has a plan for you. He'll plant you where it is. He's put in your heart things that make you passionate, things that make you angry, things that make you concerned, things that bring to your mind other people. And in that planning, God will have you to do something about it. Hear the plan of the Lord, and then go. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.